Recently, we've seen the rise of many would-be communists among those successfully winning key primaries in different parts of the country. The education system, including our colleges, have a lot to do with this trend, notes our next guest, Dr. Corey Miller, author of the book The Progressive Miseducation of America, writes, quote, "Higher education has become so thoroughly secularized that an alternative viewpoint is foreign, unwelcome, attacked, and often pushed out," end quote. And he's talking about basically historic Christian views are not welcome on the college campuses today, even though historically the original colleges in America, virtually every one of them, were Christians. In fact, Dr. Miller notes that there's a 23-to-1 ratio today of professors unfavorable to Christian beliefs on college campuses. And he adds, losing the American universities to post-Christian secularism is one of the greatest debacles and tragedies of world history, end quote. I'm Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back to the program Dr. Corey Miller. And his website, by the way, is ratiochristi.org. Dr. Miller, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Jerry, it's so good to be back here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Sure. Okay, so a lot of young Americans think that the socialists, the democratic socialists, whatever, the communists essentially, have a better way forward than the capitalists don't have as much to offer us. What are your thoughts on that? Is there a link between education? Of course there is. And those kinds of thinking. That kind of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about the socialists, I mean, the students are enamored with it now. So Gen Z definitely favors it. The Democratic Party in mass favors it up to, 60%+. When you're looking at various aspects of the university, the hard sciences on the one end or the humanities and social sciences on the other, there's definitely a prevalence in one versus the other. For example, in the social sciences, by self-report, those who would claim to be radical, activist, or Marxist is 24, 21, and 18%. Combine all those together, and you've got about 60-ish percent in the social sciences that are explicitly Marxist, radical, or activist. That doesn't count the ones who are influenced or leaning in that direction. This is a problem shaping our culture. And so, yeah, you're right. When I gave you that statistic earlier that you quoted, Ivy League universities, the ratio is 27-to-1 liberal to conservative. But, Jerry, it's no longer the liberals who are necessarily dominating the universities like they were over the last 100 years. It's now the illiberals, the Marxists. And that is significant.
Well, okay. All right. Did the word liberal just get switched just in this last sentence? It clarified this.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the revolution that we're in right now if you just look at the political parties. When you have two recent Democratic presidential candidates, both liberals, RFK and Tulsi Gabbard, now on the Republican cabinet, that tells you something is going on within the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party. When you have Bruce Jenner, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner, transgender, running with the endorsement of the RNC for the governor of California last cycle, that tells you there's something going on within the party. When you have Elon Musk, who is a lifelong Democratic voter, doing his part to help the repopulation of the earth by giving us, 13 children, mostly illegitimate, but now being the biggest donor in the Republican Party, that tells you something is going on. We are in a revolution. The Democratic Party has largely been subsumed by Marxism. You can see that in DEI, which I call DIE. DIE, understood from the academic's viewpoint, is Marxism. And so what you're seeing in terms of policy is no longer old yesterday's Democrat, the old left. It's the new left, as it was called in the 60s, the postmodern cultural Marxists. They are the ones who have moved into front position and are kicking out the old left, which is why people like Richard Dawkins now claims to be a cultural Christian. Something is going on to explain all of that, and that's what's happening. In the universities, Marxism is starting to take over.
Okay, what's the earmarks of Marxism as far as the basic philosophy? Would you say it's essentially this idea that there are victors and then there are victims? If somebody's rich, it's because this other guy is poor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, in classical Marxism, it's economic haves and have-nots, the victims and the victimizers, the oppressed and the oppressors. In neo or cultural or Western Marxism, those are synonyms, cashed out in terms of DEI or DIE, it is race, class, sex, gender, ethnicity, not just economic. Every category is now oppressor or oppressed. And so here's how your audience can understand what this is. When you're looking at DIE, as a trained philosopher and theologian, I look through the major aspects of philosophy, which are, what is real? How do I know what is real? How should I then live based on what I know about reality? And we have the D, the I, and the E, the diversity, inclusivity, equity. For the D, you start there about the reality of human relations, and that is human relations are in social binaries juxtaposed one against another, men against women, black against white, trans against cis, gay against, you know, heteronormative, and so forth. And you are supposed to identify all of those oppressed and oppressor groups. Now, when you get to inclusivity, that's the knowledge base. That's where woke comes from. Only those who have been oppressed, that is woman or colored or gay or trans, those people have eyes to see. They're not enlightened. They're woke because they know by virtue of their oppression. And so with that, we give them an exaltation. We give them a promotion because they have authoritative moral knowledge when it comes to the solution, and that is social justice or equity, and that's reparations or payback or revenge. If the major problem is social oppression, the major goal is social liberation. And that's what Marxism is about. It's about dividing people up. And then the ultimate goal is this socialist kind of utopia. So it sounds good on paper. Gen Z students love this stuff because they're getting it from the campuses. But here's what they're also getting. Marxism at its root is atheistic. Now, a lot of people have tried to make it compatible with Christianity, but it's ultimately not. What we find in this is that we get rid of God, we get rid of the sanctity of human life because we get rid of the sanctifier of human life, and now we live in what is called by the New York Post an assassination culture where Charlie Kirk happens, where the trans shootings happen, where a Rutgers study shows that 55% of all of those who self-describe as left think that it's okay to assassinate Donald Trump. 51% think it's okay to assassinate Elon Musk. When Brian Thompson got executed, the CEO of United Healthcare, by a graduate student from UPenn, Luigi Mangione, after the assassination, 41% of 18 to 29-year-olds thought that it was acceptable. Well, what do we know about 18 to 29-year-olds? We know they're in college, and we know they're learning from professors.
Man, this is scary. You mentioned reparations a moment ago. What do you mean by that?
Well, when we the recent Democratic candidate, I think he's still Stoyer is his name.
Go on.
For governor of California.
Oh yeah, yeah, Stoyer or whatever. Yeah, go on.
Stoyer. I remember in 2019 when he was running for the Democratic position as president on Fox News, they asked him, "So you believe in racial reparations?" And he says, "Yes." And they said, "Well, for how long?" He said, "Well, the way I see it is, we first brought slavery to America in 1619. It's now 2019, so I would say for about 400 years." So that's racial reparations. There are also books on gay reparations.
Wait. Let's just stop that for a second. Okay. So, 400 years ago, this happened, and the people that are alive today are supposed to pay the people, for what happened hundreds of years ago. And by the way, what about the 700,000 men who died in the Civil War, which ended up helping to end slavery? Oh, and by the way, what about the fact that slavery has been practiced almost all around the world, and it was in the Western countries because of the Christianity that slavery has been uprooted successfully? By the way, did you know that slavery was only declared illegal on paper, at least in 1962 in the Saudi Arabia. I mean, I don't mean to pick on anybody, but my goodness, how is it fair for people 400 years later to have to pay a bill for something that had nothing happened? And oh, what about those 700,000 men who died?
Right, right. And at the end of the day, Jerry, this stuff is at the level of ethics and applied ethics at social justice, as they call it, which is not just. But it's because of what's grounded in the deeper levels of the philosophy. You get rid of God, everything's permissible. And so at the end of my book, I have a chapter called MAGA and the Morning After, where as much as I appreciate our political alliances helping us to be able to have an opportunity in the campuses, at the end of the day, America cannot be made great again if it's not made good again, and the goodness is only going to come through the gospel. And so that's why we want to be on campus and seeing people at the most influential institution shaping civilization coming to Christ. One-third of all world leaders have graduated from a U.S. university. The universities are the battlefront. That's where it's at. I've got a lot of pastor friends that push back and say, no, the church is the most influential. I say, really? How many sermons does a person get every week? If we say almost every week church attendance, we get 33%, something like that. But let's just give it to them and say almost, we'll put them up to 39%. That's exactly the percentage of the number of people enrolled for college. And yet, the average college freshman gets 60 sermons in his first month, whereas a person who goes to church gets 52 sermons per year. So where is the influence coming from? We have got to impact the universities more.
Explain what Ratio Christi is.
The Ratio Christi means the reason of Christ, and its goal is to equip students and professors to give historical, philosophical, and scientific reasons for following Jesus. We work in tandem with churches. We've got a product line. We've got high school ministries, professors' ministries, and so forth. And we want to equip the church to know what this poisonous ideology coming out of the universities is, because you can't avoid it. You can't even go into your closet anymore without it going in there because you've got your cell phone. And so there are more middle schoolers today transing than there are middle schoolers in existence. Obviously, that's exaggeration, but it's happening in huge ways. And they use the kind of rhetoric that they learn online. Mom, dad, would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son? You choose. My pronouns are XYZ.
We've got to be equipped. I'm dumbfounded. How do you equip the church?
Well, I would say the first thing is, as a church, we need to repent. What do I mean by that? Mark Knoll wrote the book 30 years ago, The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind. And the scandal is that there isn't much of an evangelical mind anymore. That's not consistent with the first 1900 years. We started all the universities virtually. And Jesus, when asked by the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you know, what's the greatest command? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, and all your mind. Well, as the evangelical church, we have excommunicated the life of the mind. We're living with the headless Christianity, the menace of mindless Christianity, loving God only with our hands and our heart. If we want to follow Jesus, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. He commanded us to love him with his mind. And right now, parents and grandparents and pastors are paying for the apostasy of our own children when we send them off to these secular baptismal fonts without being equipped.
Is that true even in the case of state universities these days?
In terms of our founding them?
No. The state universities being also being anti-Christian and Marxist and so forth. I imagine they're not bad.
No, I mean, it runs the gambit. The Ivy Leagues are the worst ones, and they tend to be more private.
Isn't
they're older
amazing?
As well.
Yeah.
But all the state universities, they are the ones that are publicly funded, and this is where our political alliances need to come in, especially with red states who can do something about it. And I write about plans for this in my book, and I've met with various politicians about possibilities to give our professors a fighting chance.
All right, we're out of time. RatioChristi.org, RatioChristi. Our guest has been Corey Miller. Corey, keep up the great work. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
You too.